You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our program.
Welcome, welcome.
Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. We are Nick and Mariangela. As always, we look forward to spending some time with you. Thank you for joining us. We welcome everyone listening online all across Canada, especially in Toronto, on the internet, and especially all those parishioners from All Saints. We thank you for your support. We really appreciate it.
So we want to say, as usual, please take some time, light that candle of hope, relax, take a deep breath as we begin with the intentions. So this evening, the intentions are for all those suffering mentally, physically, spiritually, and even financially. We pray for all those who are looking to changing their jobs, something to look forward maybe a new career. We pray for all the healthcare workers, all the PSWs, and we pray for peace in the Holy Land, and especially an end to the war in Ukraine. We pray for peace.
So we start with this opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, teach me to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek to rest, to labor and to ask for no reward, save that of knowing I do your will. Amen.
Amen.
So, as always, the purpose of our program is to spread the message of the good news of the gospel the best way we can.
With lots of joy.
Yes, always with lots of joy. And this month, the topic we've chosen is we're going to talk a lot about St. Ignatius, whose feast day we celebrate on the last day of July, the 31st. And in particular, we're going to be delving into and focusing on Ignatian spirituality. And what can sum it all up is just finding God in all things. That's what his focus was, St. Ignatius.
So finding God in all things, Ignatian spirituality challenges us to encounter God in all things, witnessing to the joy of the gospel. We go forth in the world as contemplatives in action, discerning God's desire for our lives here, now, and acting on God's invitation. We are women and men for and with others, hearing both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor and responding. And we do this all for the greater glory of God.
Yeah, and it's by finding God in all things and delving into, seeing him everywhere, it helps us really to understand God's love that he has for us.
Yes, right? And, we only have an hour, so what we're going to do is we're gonna talk about the main points in Ignatian spirituality. So it's kind of like a wine tasting. We're going to give you a little taste of this, of the examination, of desolation and consolation, of discernment, the spiritual exercises. So, you have a little taste.
Little taste,
and then you're invited to look into it further.
So. Yeah, and so that you could, yeah. And as always, every month we also give you a rundown of who the saints of the month are. And there's lots of saints in July. So some of them that feast days we celebrate in July are St. Thomas, Saint Maria Goretti, Saint Benedict, Saint Veronica. There's Saint Kateri Tikawitha, who's the Mohawk native and Canadian saint, right? There's Saint Bonaventure, a Franciscan. There's Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Who else is there?
Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint James, and Saint Christopher. Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, Saint Marta, and Saint Ignatius on the 31st of this month.
Right. So let's begin about a little bit about the history of Saint Ignatius. Well, he was born in 1491 in Loyola, Castile, Spain. He was a Spanish soldier and an aristocrat, and he discerned his calling after suffering a nearly fatal accident of after being wounded. He was fatally wounded on the battlefield while he was defending the citadel of Pamplona, and they were fighting against the French. And so Ignatius was hit by this cannonball on May 20th, 1521, and he sustained a really bad fracture to his right leg and had a lot of damage to his left leg as well. And this whole episode really was like life-changing for him. And as a result, he had to stay in recovery. There was a recovery of many, many weeks. And it was during this time that he read The Life of Christ and a book on the lives of the saints, because that was really the only reading material that he had
Isn't it incredible? You're going one way in life and then all of a sudden, boom. Bam.
Yeah.
You know, God says, no, this is the, we need you going in another direction.
So that this enforced reading forced him to have his attention centered on the saints. And that led to his spiritual awakening. So that in February 1522, Ignatius said goodbye to his family, and where he went on to Montserrat, which was a place or a pilgrimage in northeastern Spain. And he spent 3 days there confessing the sins of his whole life. And then at that time, what he did was he hung his sword and his dagger near the statue of the Virgin Mary. And the sword and the dagger were symbols of his abandoning his ambitions. And from that time on, he clothed himself in sackcloth and spent the night of March 24th in deep prayer. And it was then later in 1540 that he established the Society of Jesus, also known as the Jesuits. And their motto was AMDG, which is Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam. That's Latin. And it means for the greater glory of God.
We also dedicate the show to the Jesuit martyrs in Midland, Saint René Goupil, Saint Isaac Rogues, Saint Jean de Landel, Antoine Daniel, Saint Jean Brebeuf, Saint Noël Chabanel,
Saint Charles Garnier, and Saint Gabriel Lalemant.
Yeah, because they were the first ones to spread the the Catholic faith in, in Ontario and Canada, right? So we also dedicate the show to them. Speaking of martyrs and life-changing events, and we're forever grateful for them. So the symbol for the Jesuits is the IHS. And Mary Angela, I think you practiced this more than I have. So
Jesus Onimum Salvator.
So the first three letters in the Greek of the name Jesus, these letters appear as a symbol on the official seal of the Society of Jesus, or as we say, the Jesuits. Saint Ignatius of Loyola's congregation, he gathered around him were an energetic band of well-educated men who desired nothing more than to help others find God in their lives.
And education was of the utmost importance to the Jesuits. And Jesuits traveled around the world through Europe, through Japan, Brazil, and as you know, Nick mentioned earlier, also into Canada.
Yeah, in Midland, where the shrine is. And we also, speaking of the shrine, we have the beautiful Martyr Shrine up in Midland. Mm-hmm. It's a Jesuit parish. And at the moment, Father Knox
is the pastor
Is the pastor. Yeah. And if you ever get a chance, we highly recommend
going to visit. It's beautiful.
Go
parish.
Visit. You can have a mini retreat with him or attend mass. It's so beautiful. They have Stations of the Cross.
And the shrine and the church looks like a, kind of like a canoe, upside down.
Yeah, because that's how they traveled up there.
Yeah, ceiling, I mean, of it. Yeah.
And even our Pope, Pope Francis, is a Jesuit.
Mm-hmm,
and
that's right.
I think there are about 13,000 Jesuit priests in and around the world. Mm-hmm. And the many more are in formation. So we mentioned finding God in all things. So the show is about a Ignatian spirituality. And we will start with, what is it? Well, it finds and recognizes God in all things. We develop a personal relationship with Christ and the love of the church. We live a life full of contemplation in action. It's not just a monastic existence, but an active one that infused with prayer.
Some other ways that Ignatian spirituality encourages us, encourages us to live an inner freedom. It translates our faith into working for justice. So the realization that there can be no true expression of faith where concerns for justice and human dignity are lacking. It encourages us to recognize, that the world is charged with the grandeur of God. So that positive, energetic, engaged vision of God's in constant interaction with creation. So finding, again, God in everything, right? It also encourages us to live according to that motto, ad majorem Dei gloriam, for the greater glory of God. So praising God and dedicating oneself to participate in God's healing work in the world.
And it seeks the union of minds and hearts as brothers and sisters. We listen for the God who is present among us. And as they say, we find God in all things.
Mm-hmm.
So just a few words we'd like to share with you are... magnificent, wonderful, essential, everlasting, brilliant, amazing, and discerning.
Continuing with words, contemplation, deliverance, acceptance, surrender, humility, mercy, silence.
Manifestation, transformation, conversion, detachment, liberty, enlightenment, awareness.
Radical grace, generous forgiveness, intoxicating spirit, wonder, awe, loving creator.
All-powerful. The one necessary thing, boundless energy, simple abundance, and all-powerful loving God.
Amen to that.
Yeah, those are some, we had to step back ourselves because these are a lot of the things that, we experienced at Manresa, some of the teachings of the Jesuits, and we just wanted to share them with you.
A little bit of a description.
I love the intoxicating spirit.
Yeah, I love that.
It's all natural.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's delve a little bit into Ignatian spirituality. And the main part of it is the examine, which is a daily prayer, a reflective prayer. So St. Ignatius Loyola's examine, it's really an opportunity for peaceful daily reflective prayer. And it invites us to find the movement of God in all people and events of our day. So the examine is simply to set a set of introspective prompts for us to follow or adapt to our own character and spirit. And what it does is we begin with a pause and a slow, deep breath or two as we become aware that we are in the presence of the Holy One, God. So let's begin with two deep breaths. And so the examination begins with becoming aware of God's presence and giving thanks. So thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's really good. Thanksgiving is so powerful.
So we have to reflect on what am I especially grateful in this past day? So think of it, you know, what gifts were given to me today? What love and support have I received? Is there any courage that I mustered during the day? And any event that took place today in of God's presence and thanksgiving.
And this examen can be whatever works for you, morning, afternoon, or night. Mm-hmm. But whatever, you know, time you find peace,
yeah,
you know, we highly recommend it.
The next, and schedule it in your day to do it.
Yeah. So after Thanksgiving is petition. We ask this question, I am about to renew my day. I ask for the light to know God and to know myself as God sees me. So we take silent time. We take about a couple minutes between each step, right? Thanksgiving being the first, petition being the second.
The third step is to review. So look back. Where have I felt true joy today? What has troubled me today? What has challenged me today? Where and when did I pause today? And then have I noticed God's presence in any of this?
So just a little tip, maybe when you're driving and there's traffic and you're stopped at a light, we think, oh man, I got to get home, I'm late. Maybe this is a perfect time to do a mini examination to review.
Yes, that's right? True.
And with the review comes the response. So in light of my review, what is my response to God in my life with what's going on after I've reviewed everything?
How do I respond then? Yeah. And then the last step is to really to then look ahead. And as I look ahead, what comes to mind? With what spirit do I want to enter tomorrow? And I hope it's a spirit of joy, right? And peace.
So we have the steps are thanksgiving, petition, review, response, and to look ahead. Now, there's even a shorter examination that we can do. We simply ask ourselves at the whatever part of the day works for you. Maranja, what do you think we should ask ourselves?
It's, I think, in three parts, right?
Yeah.
What have I done? What am I doing? And what will I do?
Yeah.
So it's like looking at the past, the present, and the future, basically.
Yeah. So that's another way of doing the examination of conscience. So as mentioned, it's kind of like a little wine tasting, right? So whichever one works for you, we say go for it.
Mm-hmm. And it will really... bring fruits in your life too.
Yeah, so true. So another part of Ignatian spirituality is the spiritual exercises. They take root at the heart of St. Ignatius's life. So he was immobilized, as Marianne was said, in his bed by an injury, alternating pious readings, which what else can you do when you're sick, right? Or when you're injured. So there's... dreams of being a great warrior and stuff, he realized, no, You know, that's it's just a fantasy, right? Mm. And then he realized from there on that he needed to pray more and meditate on Jesus Christ. So this was his formation into the spiritual exercises, into his writings on how to become closer to God. And just, you know, we're just going to explain just a little bit because they're so deep and we only have so much time. So it is organized in 4 weeks and it can last 30 days.
Yeah, that's a whole month. Wow. And so the spiritual exercises consists really of a series of contemplations, reflections of the life of Christ and meditations written by St. Ignatius. And their goal is to gradually lead when making the retreat to accept the love of God and to grow in the familiarity with God, with Christ, and to choose how to order one's life so as to follow in Jesus's footsteps. And so during these 30 days, the retreatant, you know, the one taking the retreat, is helped by a spiritual director who guides him or her to progress by offering personalized meditations and contemplations, as well as by helping him or her to put words on what is happening in prayer.
So Marian just said it takes 30 days, but we can do our own. It could take like 3 days. It could take 8 days. So you That's can right. read the book and break it up and see what works best for you. So the spiritual exercises teaches us the following: God's creative and unconditional and total call to a response for us to get closer to him.
Mm-hmm. And understand his undying love, right?
You know, it's, yeah. we're making time for him. Mm-hmm. You know, we do it with solitude, silence, and a lot of patience.
It also teaches us a positive sense of God, of self and of creation, and see, like we said before, seeing God in all things and finding him there throughout creation.
And it is a detachment, a desire to be free of worldly things. You know, yes, we are free, but we have to have a moral conscience and keep Jesus at the center, right? It's, we can't just do anything. We need to follow the path of Christ. Knowing Ignatian spirituality, the spiritual exercises, knowing that we are totally forgiven.
That's a big one. Yeah,
when we go to confession.
Because mm-hmm. right? sometimes we don't feel worthy to be forgiven. But knowing that we, you know, that God is ever merciful and forgiving.
It is the call to the King to follow Jesus, who is Christ the King.
And it also, the spiritual exercises also teaches us to have a deeper desire to be a disciple, because we're, it is always a contemplation of Jesus in the Gospels and, you know, entering into the scene there with him in the Gospels, right?
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue into our next part, which is Ignatian spirituality.
So Ignatian contemplation is a prayer with scripture. And what it does, it's a meeting of God through a story. So what one we can do to begin is always, as we begin like the show, light a candle. It helps center us, the light of the candle. And the prayer develops as you live into the scripture story with all of your senses and imagination. So you become a participant in the story and you continue in the story with your heart, your mind, and imagination, spirit, and body after the reading ends. So what you do is you let your spirit guide you through the prayer. You don't force anything to happen. You just let it happen to you, within you and around you. You may pray with the same story for many days in a row before you feel the prayer is complete, that God's spoken to you, that you have heard God and worked through it, what it meant to you. So it's really a wonderful, rich experience. And so you use your five senses, senses of sight, smell, hearing, feeling, and taste.
Yeah, and as Miranda was saying, like it's like using our imagination, being put right into the actual scene.
Story.
So pick a scripture passage, and this is where it's different than Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina, you know, we read the passage, we read it over and over, and then we meditate on it, and you know what's it saying to our head, and the difference.
To our hearts,
yeah, and our hands.
Yeah.
Whereas the Ignatian contemplation is now that we're in the scene. I love this scene is the scene of the Last Supper. So,
for an example,
yeah,
right?
Just so imagine that we were all at the Last Supper, sitting with the apostles, right? You know, we take a deep breath, and we look around, and say, "Wow, we're here in the upper room." So, what do you smell?
There's probably a lot of food, roasted lamb maybe, some fresh bread.
Wow. You know, the steam rising
smell,
from the
yeah.
bread.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that you would hear?
Well, Jesus is there, so he'd be proclaiming that he's the bread of life.
As he's doing that, we also hear the clanging of dishes and the cup, or people dropping their dishes when they heard that. What Jesus just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you would feel at this moment?
Probably a bit of a nervous excitement.
Yeah, what's right? he saying? Yeah, what does he mean?
That's right. right.
You know, and as Jesus breaks the bread and shares it, what are we tasting right now?
Well, there's the roasted lamb, as we said before. There's that fresh bread. Maybe it's a little crunchy or soft. Bitter herbs, right? And also
something very important.
Yeah, the wine.
The wine.
The
How
wine.
Does the wine taste?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Another thing is we're sitting at the table and Jesus looks at us.
Mm.
How are you feeling at this moment?
Mm.
So with contemplative prayer in our life, we become more attentive and it leads to an awareness. And we become more receptive and present. We are able to embrace and desire God more and allow his unconditional love into our hearts. So at this moment, we're going to take a small break and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Massa.
So welcome back. Now, so Ignatian spirituality, another part of it is discernment. And to discern means to try to figure out what God wants us to do in our life. Often it's not really easy to figure that out. Sometimes we're always like searching our souls. Like, what is it long for? It's always longing for something.
And so social media really can influence mm-hmm. our decision or sway us, right?
Right. And so maybe we're not always making that right choice. So we really, really need to listen. And how do we know what is the right choice? Well, fortunately, St. Ignatius offers some guidelines to help us discern. And help us discover what God is calling us to do in the big and small decisions of our life, including a vocational discernment. So a place that I'm currently, all of us always navigate, right? You know, always trying to discern where is he really leading us?
Yeah, and these are like steps leading us to make that decision. And it's so important, that decision, we need to be at peace. Right. And these are the steps that will lead us to be at peace, to make a really good decision in our discernment.
So this is what St. Ignatius suggests you consider to ask as you practice discernment. First is this decision faithful to scripture and the historical understandings of the church? So reflect on that.
Does this decision manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit within the individual and community?
Is this decision characterized by a genuine sense of peace relationally with God? So does it bring you peace and peace with God? Does this decision promote reconciliation rather than divisiveness? That's a big one these days, yeah, right? Really big.
A lot of division.
Yes, too much. So let's try to lead into that reconciliation. And finally,
has this decision process been engaged with integrity and considered or weighed with others we trust? So if you have to make a decision or a big change in your life, these are some steps
and guidelines
in the discernment mm-hmm. as we walk. But the big one is walking with Christ.
Walking with Christ always.
You know, right? We say pray to him, but we'll also listen to him. So take that in the discernment. We need to take the solitude and the silence. So we ask, we talk, but we have to make the time to take it in. Here's one of the most powerful prayers for Ignatian spirituality.
Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from Christ's side, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your words, hide me. Let me not be separated from you. From the enemy, defend me. At my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints I may praise you forever and ever.
Amen.
So now, Ignatius spirituality also allows us to focus on desolation and consolation, which are the cycles in our life. Now, let's start with desolation. And desolation is a moving away from God. So here we reflect on our spiritual state and our interior movement. Are we moving toward more fear, doubt, anger? Or are we moving towards a greater faith, hope, and love? So the Ignatian principles of consolation and desolation can help us. So consolation is a state where we move towards God's active presence in the world. We know we are moving in this way when we sense the growth of love or faith or mercy of and hope, which are all qualities we know as gifts of the Holy Spirit.
So I like to say you wake up in the morning and you get two arrows, right? Hmm. One arrow is going right and one arrow is going left.
Right.
Which direction are we going? Are we in a consolation or are we in a desolation?
Right.
Now, we may not like it if it's pointing towards desolation.
Right.
But at least now we are aware we are in like a state of desolation. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
But it's a start to say, okay, how can I start to change and go back to consolation?
Yeah, and consolation can hold many emotions and experiences. It's consolation doesn't mean that I feel constantly happy or at peace. And sometimes, in fact, when we're doing precisely what God is leading us to do, we may feel some negative pressures, right? So we might not feel ultimately at peace. But in the end, it does lead to peace. So it's like this growing and learning, the consolations. It's really like, you know, a cycle of life. So it's like it's a bump.
Yeah.
It could be a little bit bumpy, yeah, but it leads to, you know, getting.
It's like a heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. And mm-hmm. that's kind of like our life, right?
And in desolation, we're moving, like I said before, we're moving away God's active presence in the world. We know that we're moving in this way when we sense there's resentment, or there's ingratitude, we're selfish, there's a lot of doubt, there's fear, and we're very gloomy and self-obsessed. We know then that we're in this state of desolation. So we're resisting God. And we're really, really leading away from God by all these influences. Sometimes there's influences that in life that lead us away from God.
Yeah, and here's a prayer just like to add from Jesuit William Barreau. The prayer of reconciliation. Lord Christ, help us to see what it is that joins us together and not what separates us. Mm. For when we see only what it is that makes us different, we too often become aware of what is wrong with others. We see only their faults and weaknesses, interrupting their actions as flowing from malice or hatred rather than fear. Even when confronted with evil, Lord, you forgave and sacrificed yourself rather than sought revenge. Teach us to do the same by the power of your Spirit.
And so desolation also holds many emotions and experiences. And when we're in desolation, we might try to alleviate our discomfort by drinking too much or eating too much or seeking some other distractions. Food, and then it's through food and drink, this activity, we might feel good, but they're not leading us to any greater joy or peace and love. So these are false consolations, and that can avoid the true consolation of God's presence.
Yeah, so we need that intoxicating natural spirit,
right?
When we include Ignatian spirituality, it's leading us to open the door to the Holy Spirit to get us there, right? So desolation drives us down into our own negative feelings. We were mentioning a few of these points. It makes us want to give up on things that used to be important to us, and it can drain us of our energy. Be careful of those energy vampires.
Right. They'll very, very careful.
They'll lead you to desolation.
Yeah.
And so consolation, as I mentioned, is the arrow going the other direction towards God.
And so it directs our focus outside and beyond ourselves. It lifts our hearts so that we can see the joys and sorrows of other people. It generates a new inspiration and ideas. It restores balance and refreshes our inner vision. And it shows us where God is active in our lives and where he's leading us.
So the most important thing to surviving desolation is sufficient grace. A person who is in desolation should recall that he or she can do much to withstand all of their enemies by using the sufficient grace that they have and taking strength in his creator, our Lord. And St. Paul went on to write, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me."
And that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Wow, isn't that powerful? Like in those moments, right?
And so, and ultimately when we're in desolation, we just have to remember, let's stay the course, be very patient, think long-term, because we can't get stuck in desolation. We have to move through it and get to consolation.
Yeah, and perhaps St. Ignatius' advice can be a roadmap to direct you back to the strength and sufficiency of God's grace in all times of weaknesses and desolation. With this assurance of sufficient grace, we do not need to look anywhere else but to God for strength. So when we read the writings of St. Ignatius and Ignatian spirituality, we let the Holy Spirit in. And that's the most important thing, the fire of the Holy Spirit to renew us, because this is the year of we're going to renew our attitude.
That's right.
Last year we chose attitude. And this year we're going to renew the attitude.
It's all about the renewal.
Yeah. And so when we include Ignatian spirituality, there will be breakthroughs in our lives. We will feel blessed. There'll be conversions. We'll feel a lot more determined. We'll have a lot more energy. We'll be enthusiastic. We will feel enlightened.
We will feel grace. Lots of hope. We will feel inspiration, liberation, mindful, magnanimity, and lots of motivation too.
Yeah, we will feel overjoyed with the feeling of the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We will have more purpose. We will be directed more in the consolation direction.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of our favorite songs, we will enjoy the silence.
Yes, yes, indeed. Because in the silence, we hear God.
And with that, we will experience Mary Angela's favorite word.
Triumphant.
And victorious.
That's right. That's right.
So what led us to Ignatian spirituality was we went on a retreat many years back, 2007, I think.
Yep.
And it's so important that Ignatian spirituality, it really stresses the fact to take time to find God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we can't all take a retreat. We can maybe can't go like a weekend, but we can maybe take half a day, or we can even start with an hour.
Yeah, make our own retreat.
And so as we enter into a mini retreat.
And what can we do as to enter into the retreat? So as we enter into the retreat, we can begin with deep faith and generosity. Deep faith that the divine shepherd, Jesus our Lord, wants to communicate very personally with me. So God can do so only if I or we are open as possible, no matter where we are in our life, no matter how closed we have been in the past. So we begin by quieting ourselves, both interiorly and exteriorly, by taking the norm of silence as being extremely important for an atmosphere which will allow us to our caring God to communicate personally with us. We shall take care to be recollected, to relax, and to let go in this nurturing presence. And the first gift we seek from God on this retreat in every prayer period is the gift of deep confidence and trust in God's care and love.
So in between the times of prayer, I shall try to keep in harmony with the gift I am seeking, either by relaxing or reading the scripture text, or by simply resting or having a good deep sleep, or by just enjoying nature, or by ruminating, or by a combination of these ways of recollecting oneself. I do all this in order that I may become more and more responsive to God, who is speaking and who is seeking me.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're doing all these things to, again, find God in everything, right? So what's the value of retreats anyways? Well, a big part of retreats is it allows us to be refreshed and revitalized.
And we highly recommend if you could take a retreat, especially because when we went to Manresa many times, we usually try and go once a year. It will change your life. It's the Jesuit Retreat House in Pickering.
Yeah, and the value then is, as I said, it refreshes and revitalizes. It gives the opportunity for more time spent in prayer and contemplation. And it rekindles and deepens one's relationship with God. So allows us to get closer to Him, right?
Yeah, because we just literally just stop. Mm-hmm. Everything comes to a stop. And we're not used to that because
no.
We're going 100 miles
an
hour
all the time.
And not just stopping, but silence.
Right.
When we stop.
Yeah. So one may take this opportunity during the retreat to more clearly hear what God's, you know, calling us and what God's saying to us. So we got really to listen to His call and to seek God's healing grace and thereby to get a degree of spiritual renewal. The purpose of a spiritual retreat, in addition to daily spiritual activities, is to temporarily leave behind the usual distractions we face during our days, enough to allow relaxation for an inner change to occur. And so the ongoing conversion of heart that is critical to deepening our faith. So, and the necessities of retreat can be described as this. In the fever and agitation of modern life, the need of meditation and spiritual repose impresses itself on Christian souls who desire to reflect on their eternal destiny and direct their life in their world towards God.
Yeah,
that's
so
all, you know, in a nutshell, that's Ignatian spirituality.
Yeah, so the structure of a retreat, first and foremost, is just stopping and making time. You know, if you can't go to the Manresa retreat house, you can practice even at your own house. You know, you start early in the morning, you do your morning prayers, you can watch or attend Mass, you can have lunch. You can do the way of the cross. You can have more personal time for reflection. It's just basically shedding all the noise.
Right. And focusing on, God, yeah. Right?
And just silent, maybe eating quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, you become more aware.
Totally aware.
What's going on. You know, sometimes we're so busy. We're eating in our cars. We're eating as we walk. We can't even, like, it's just a matter of just stepping back. And letting God in,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of de-stressing. And as mentioned, you know, we can start slowly. We can do a mini one at home and then expand it to going to an actual 3-day, 7-day, or if you have the time,
a whole month,
a 30-day retreat.
A whole month, yeah.
So we really encourage that at least once a year, if not do a mini one once a week at home.
Right, right.
We'd like to share with you a prayer. I found this beautiful prayer in a book from the Jesuit called Hearts on Fire, which we highly recommend.
Praying with the Jesuits. So this prayer is, I choose to breathe the breath of Christ. I choose to breathe the breath of Christ that makes all life holy. I choose to live the flesh of Christ that outlasts sin's corrosion and decay. I choose the blood of Christ along my veins and in my heart that dizzies me with joy. I choose the living waters flowing from his side to wash clean my own self and the world itself. I choose the awful agony of Christ to charge my senseless sorrows with meaning and to make my pain pregnant with power. I choose you, good Jesus, you know. I choose you, good Jesus. Count me among the victories that you have won in bitter woundedness. Never number me among those alien to you. Make me safe from all that seeks to destroy me. Summon me to come to you. Stand me solid among angels and saints, chanting yes to all you have done, exalting in all you mean to do forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
That's powerful.
I think we need to take a retreat from this little mini retreat. It's like, you know, this prayer just came up. We were, you know, we had so many prayers, but I just felt that we needed to say this one. So in preparing the show, we have so many things we want to share and do. And then all of a sudden, like the Holy Spirit, it changes everything. And we just go with it. And we found this other beautiful prayer by Father Kevin O'Brien, who is also a Jesuit priest. Because this program is all about the Jesus with us reflections of joy, he writes, in seeking joy, we walk with the risen Lord. We appreciate how Easter is happening all the time, with joy surprising us everywhere. Indeed, the Christian journey is not only suffering and tears. Our journey ends in joy. St. Augustine said, The Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. Christ has conquered death.
So now, can you envision yourself with Jesus and the disciples after the resurrection, when after the initial shock and awe of seeing the risen Christ has subsided, and you embrace him and each other in sheer joy? Do you feel that joy? Do you hear the laughter? Isn't it contagious?
Yes, it is. Wow. So at this point, we'd like to thank everyone who made this show happen, all the listeners, the programming, the people behind the scenes, and most of all, Mother Mary, St. Joseph, and Jesus. And a big thank you to Mary Angela.
And a big thank you to Nick.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we will close with a powerful reflection that...
A prayer
that is the examination of conscience. And again, we want to thank you for being with us tonight. And before we close, we have a closing prayer to be followed by an examination of conscience. It's about 5 minutes, so please... listen to it after the final prayer.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next month.
Good night. Take care.
The examine, the transition. Become aware of the love with which God looks upon you as you begin this examine. Gratitude. Note the gifts that God's love has given you this day, and give thanks to God for them. Petition. Ask God for an insight and a strength that will make this examine a work of grace, fruitful beyond your human capacity alone. Review. With God, review your day. Look for the stirrings in your heart and the thoughts which God has given you this day. Look also for those which have not been of God. Review your choices and responses to both, and throughout the day in general. Forgiveness. Ask for the healing touch of the forgiving God who, with love and respect for you, removes your heart's burdens. Renewal. Look to the following day and, with God, plan concretely how to live it in according with God's loving desire for your life. Transition. Aware of God's presence with you, prayerfully conclude the examine.
May the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you.
You have been listening to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.